You know, Derek, I don't really even know how to start this. You know, we've yelled, we've cried, we've cheered, we've screamed. Yet, here we are, 73 points, nine games left in the season.
Both not enough and too many, depending on your perspective.
Yeah. I mean, right back, dead center in the bullseye that is Kaniac mediocrity.
Yeah! Mike, are you as hyped as I am about this ninth overall pick?
Ooh, ninth. I would be so excited if we could get the ninth overall pick. We are
11th.
Oh, it's double digits. Double digits. So, the Edmonton game was kind of this season in a nutshell, wasn't it? For folks who may not have been aware, when you renewed your season tickets last year, the Canes gave you a upgrade credit that you could use to upgrade your tickets to better seats within the arena. And all of us had not used our upgrade because we kind of love where we sit up there, the cheap seats in 328. But we decided, hey, look, tonight seems like a great night. Let's get down close to the ice and see Connor McDavid.
So Draisaitl and Pool Party
and all of these great, you know, great talents, along with
Adam Larson.
And you mean open source Taylor Hall?
Yes.
We'll talk about that guy. But no, we had, plus you've got Aho and Turbo and Skinner and Pesci and all of our guys. So, you know, it seemed like a great night to move down, and we came to the arena and we were so excited and we got our tickets and we saw that we had these great seats down at 120 right over by the penalty box, and we scored first. And just like the season, there was excitement, there was exuberance, things looked good. And then,
then the thorough beating commenced.
Yes. Which is basically what's happened to our souls throughout this season, where there's been peaks of 1-0 in the really nice seats. There was Happy Dundon Day. Happy Dundon Day. There was, you know, 5-game winning streaks. There was, a lot of stretches where we got 8 points out of 10.
So here's my question for you. What is the Canes season equivalent to the time on Tuesday night when Jesse Puljujärvi scored and then flexed on us?
Oh, that was... So, for those of you who may have missed it...
Because that
so
was...
So, Puljujärvi, for his... He went full flex. I believe that was the 6th goal of the evening.
I forget if it was 5 or 6 or 7. It was up there.
Yeah. I mean, it was... I can't disrespect it because, A, love me some Pool Party, but B...
We all thought it was hilarious.
It was, it had a little WWE-esque-ness to it, and I was like, good on you, kid. Good on you, but... I mean, that's been it. I mean, we went in with such high expectations. We were able to enjoy some fun times together. We enjoyed some camaraderie. We got to see Pool Party flex. We got to watch Connor McDavid up close. We got to see what could have been, Derek.
And as we've learned, Mike, though, the real playoffs are the friends you make along the way.
There you go. Leon Draisaitl had 4 points, if I recall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had a goal and 3 helpers.
Yeah.
He's not bad. And he also... Large individual.
Large human being. Just wide and quick and good on the puck. Shocking, he pushed Victor Rask off the puck a couple of times. I believe he pushed Victor Rask off the puck so hard, not playing the rest of the season.
Yeah. Rask is like, nah, I've been outmanned so badly. I'm going to shut it down.
Yeah, I'm shutting it down. We're not going to shut it down quite yet. We've got a couple of weeks left in the season. We have a tailgate we need to talk about. We're going to talk about a matchup. We're recording this immediately right before the Arizona game. So while you won't get live in-game updates for the Arizona game, we may make them up. Who knows? Because by the time I have this published, it'll be sometime in the middle of the Arizona game. So we're just going to, F it. We're going to wing it.
We're going to do it live?
F it. We'll do it live. Hit the X button.
Yeah.
You're listening to yet another edition of the Cheaters Never Win Hockey Podcast, brought to you by our good friends at Bottle Mix, who make sure we drink good beer even when our team isn't playing well. And shockingly, still a part of the Sports Channel 8 family. That's right. You're listening to Mike. You're listening to Derek. Another episode of Cheaters Never Win coming to you right in your ears, courtesy of all of the tears of Hartford Whaler fans everywhere. So while we may not be making the playoffs this year, the Hartford Whalers haven't made the playoffs in over 20 years. So you know what? F those guys. And now, here's Derek and Mike, too. Thank you, new Mr. Voice.
The guy sounds familiar.
He does sound familiar.
I was just talking to that guy.
Yeah.
And still am, actually.
Sort of. I've got a good Mr. Voice thing. I could do that, but no. I'm not doing it. You know why? F it. I'm mailing it in. I'm just mailing it in.
Why not?
I'm gonna quote unquote tweak my shoulder vocal cords, and I'm gonna mail it in for the rest of the season. Jesus Christ, Derek.
So I'm co-hosting with Roland McEwen tonight.
I mean, let's be honest. Most beautiful man, not named Jake Chelios, Roland McEwen.
I don't know.
I mean, Mr. Workrate himself, you know, considers Jake Chelios ruggedly handsome.
Yeah.
Okay, so for all of the folks out there in the audience, here's the first Twitter poll of tonight's episode. More ruggedly handsome, Roland McEwen, Jake Chelios. Tom Edwards, don't rig the poll.
All right. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Hey, Derek, why don't you give me some quality analysis of that New York Islanders game?
For a while, it looked like we were going to get a shutout, which would have been fun since I don't know who the hell the Islanders back up. Is it Tomas Grice. You know, put up a goose egg against us. And for a while, it looked like, hey, maybe we'll repay the favor in Barclays. But no, we didn't. And we had to scratch and claw and get a 4-3 win, which I believe at the time boosted our playoff percentage from 8 to 10 or something like that. So we weren't dead yet, Mike.
We weren't dead yet.
It was just that kind of game where it's like, of course we win.
Of course.
You know, the team starts going on this precipitous slide from mid-February to mid-March, and then we start winning.
And it's against the team that is slightly below us in the standings, further hurting our chances to actually be able to get a less than mediocre first-round draft pick. Looking at you, Jake Bean and Jake Gauthier.
Julian.
Whatever. F him. So tired of guys named Jay. Justin, Jake.
The hockey news wasn't big on him.
That's what I'm saying. For those of you who may have missed it, touting Julian Gauthier as one of the most recent draft busts.
I don't think they're calling him a bust yet, but just saying that he was like a top 30 prospect overall, and now he's no longer on their top 100 list.
Yeah. It's interesting. Again, we hope the kid kind of comes around, but that could be the Gauthier pick could be right up there with the Boychuk and Dalby.
No. I disagree.
It's still early, Derek.
But Dalby was a second round pick.
They're both named Zach Effem. I'm just so tired of this. I just want to pee on everything and everybody right now.
Just think of the merch we could have had, like two Zachs, like two Corys for a while.
Yeah,
that'd have been fun.
I want to be like Edmonton, and I just want to pee in a sink.
Or just a big trough in the middle of a room.
Yeah, where you're supposed to, you know, wash your hands. Derek, we could talk all sorts of hockey. And you know what? Let's do that. Folks, listen to this.
This is a hockey podcast.
It is a hockey podcast. So tonight's podcast is going to be a little shorter because we do need to get to the Arizona game tonight. But, Derek, what's your take on the injuries with Rask and Pesci? Is this something that maybe has been lingering and it's just reached the point of like, guys, it's the point of diminishing returns, let's shut them down? Or was this something where it was a, you know, significant injury in the game against Edmonton?
I think it's more the former. You know, we heard when Zikov got called up last week, didn't get to play, got sent back down, that Bill Peters said there's a guy who's been dealing with some nagging injuries, and basically he's a game time decision every day, so they wanted to have an extra body there. Maybe that was Victor Rask. I don't know about Pesci, what's going on with him, but I would say it's a little bit of let's be cautious with these guys, and also a little bit of, hey, maybe let's actually see what we have. Is Roland McEwen the top defensive prospect that hasn't played much in the NHL yet? Is Zikov ready to be a full NHL guy? And let's give them 8-9 games and see what they have. So I think it's probably
eight, nine games of 5 or 6 minutes a night strapped to a fourth line or a third pair.
Zikov practiced with Aho and Turbo.
Yeah, so that's actually that's going to be, I think, one of the interesting things to come out of the Arizona game tonight is we're finally going to get a chance to see one of the young guys who has really pushed the effort and the level and the score sheet down in Charlotte getting his fair chance to play in a top six or a top nine role versus the, I believe it was Rask, Stempniak, and Rask, Stempy.
Yeah.
And Zikov the other night for 12 minutes or so.
I'm looking up real quick to see how much Zikov played against Arizona. Against Edmonton. A moment, please.
It wasn't great. And then Brett Pesce. I mean, Brett Pesce has had a perfectly fine season. Huh. Him and Jacob Slavin have been perfectly fine. They have not been the world beaters we thought they were going to be. Statistically, they were one of the best defensive pairs for the first half of the season. But again, I agree with you that maybe there has been some things lingering that have been bothering Brett Pesce. Either that or how important has Noah Hanifin been to this team? Because while we give our Boston Stoner a lot of hell, this team has given up 10 goals since he went down with concussion.
Yeah, Noah Hanifin's good.
He is of the goods.
He's very good. And against Edmonton, Zikov played how many minutes, Mike?
11 minutes, 23 seconds.
You are 3.5 minutes low. He played 15:05.
Really?
Right?
I don't think I watched 15 minutes of that game.
No forward played more than 18 minutes. Double checking to make sure that's right. Yeah. Aho led all forwards with 17:47, bringing up the rear amongst forwards. Phil DiGiuseppe with 11:54. So Peters was rolling all four lines that night.
Yeah.
Which, do more of that, and I doubt it'll end up 7-3 more often. But, I don't know. But I think it's good that they are being cautious with these guys. Shut them down. Let's see who we have. Even though the Score mobile app hilariously says tonight that the Canes are running out of time and need to get a win against Arizona.
Oof.
We would need to win out. Florida and Philly and Jersey would all damn near need to lose out.
And Columbus.
Well, as long as three teams ahead of us lose out, we're fine.
I believe the Islanders ahead of us at this point, I think? I don't know.
Maybe.
Who knows? Who cares? We are not going to the playoffs. If at maximum right now, I believe we would get 90. We could get to 91 points if we won out the string. 91 points is not going to the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. So shut your filthy mouth, Score mobile app, and go back to Canuckistan where you belong.
Yeah, take that, Ian, if you're listening.
Yes, Ian. Go back to tweeting about pianos or something.
And hilarious puns.
Yeah. I just mixed up Ian and Josh Gold and or Smith.
Oh, yes.
Who both worked for the Score at least at one point.
Worked for an app.
Yes, worked for an app. And the man. And damn the man. You know, damn the man to hell. I'm everywhere tonight, Derek. I'm everywhere.
Why not? I mean, seriously. Actually, like these Canes games, Mike, does it matter that you're all over the place?
Next podcast, we are going to do a bit, much like cheat mail, where folks are going to send in suggestions, and we're just going to answer, does it matter?
I like that idea. So, keep that in mind. Send them to us, because when we forget in, 6 days
right,
to send that question out...
Actually, it's
going to
be longer than that, because I'm out all week next week, so it's going to be, 9-10 days before our next... podcast.
All right, whatever. So whenever it is, we're going to forget. I know that of the two of us.
Yes.
So we trust you, the people, to keep us honest.
Yes. Keep us honest, mostly. I just got an alert on my Score mobile app, Derek.
What is it?
It has just been announced that Mr. Workrate and Canalytics, due to family issues, have regretfully withdrawn their name from the Carolina Hurricanes GM search.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Shocking news that the folks in Canada are reporting it before, those of us who are right here who happen to know these people and are intimately familiar with the team are spreading rumor and propaganda via the national hockey media. Derek, how do you feel about all of the reports out of Canada that everybody has currently withdrawn their name from the Carolina Hurricanes job? Allow me to poke you with a sharp stick while you say this answer.
Ow! It reminds me a lot, first of all, of the NC State coaching search from a few years back when they...
Your words hurt, Derek.
When they famously flamed out on Billy Gillespie and John Calipari and all those skeezy dudes. But Look, I think there may have been a little bit of sloppiness from the team, maybe in getting names out there. I think there's some of it to be expected. I think there's some of it's Canada protecting Ron Francis, one of their own, because they feel maybe he's been wronged. But I really just think it is a lot of people throwing names out there, and even more, people throwing crap out there. Like, I'm pretty confident there is no... the comment of the salary that is being offered of 400 grand for a general manager in the NHL is not grounded in reality whatsoever.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about that. Let's go back go to business, Mike.
Because that's my favorite trinket so far from this GM search is that.
Yeah, so supposedly the Carolina Hurricanes are only offering $400,000 for a general manager role of the National Hockey League, and we are shortchanging that by a guy who has actively said in every meeting that he's been in, the hockey team doesn't have a lot of money, but I do, so let's go spend some of it. I do not believe that anyone has been offered the Carolina Hurricanes general manager position. In my heart of hearts,
that is my feeling as well.
I believe that, and everything I have heard, and all of the, you know, innuendo and research that we've done, has been that no one has been offered the position. Derek, you and I have both worked for a living, correct?
Yes, can confirm.
Generally, you do not know how much you are going to make at that job until you receive an offer letter.
I would say the only exception in my job searches is when it's a public office, you know, something that is government run, where they have to post a salary range on the job offer or the job listing.
Correct.
But that's the exception. In a private entity like the Carolina Hurricanes, I really doubt that figure is being floated anywhere near this early.
Well, not only is it probably not being floated that early, but if you are the type of person who is potentially going to be a general manager in the National Hockey League, one of 31, soon to be 32 jobs on the planet as such, one of the 32 most coveted jobs in hockeydom, are you actually going to use the poison pill against all of the other bosses and go out there and be like, yeah, I interviewed with the Canes, Elliot Friedman, and they lowballed me an offer and only gave me $400,000. Don't tie my name to it, but make sure everybody knows they're a bunch of cheapskates. Are you really going to leak that information out there in hopes that you're ever going to get a National Hockey League job? Because if that's the case, if you told that to Elliot Friedman, if I'm a teen owner and Friedman wants to keep me close, and I call you up and be like, hey, you know, I'm just making up names here. Let's say the guy's name is Dial Kubas, and Dial Kubas, you know, leaked that information to Friedman. If I'm the next owner of the Seattle Sasquatch, do I call up Friedman and be like, hey, look, can I ask you a question? Was it Dial Kubas who leaked that information about the Hurricanes? Because if so, I don't want that guy on my team.
I don't think a journalist like Friedman or anyone of his caliber is going to then out their source.
If you have a chance to get closer to one of the 32 owners.
Yeah, but it's kind of like then you don't trust a guy who ratted out his source.
I don't trust anybody who lies.
Right.
Liars, cheats.
Right.
And guys from Winnipeg. Trust them.
It's like people who get in a relationship with someone that they were cheating with, and then it turns out that person cheats on them. It's like, well, what the hell did you expect?
What do you mean? What are you saying, Derek?
I'm not saying anything.
Next week on this podcast, a new co-host. So in all seriousness, though, I think a lot of this stuff is being, and I think you pointed out, Ron Francis is one of Canada's best. Ron Francis is the franchise. Ron Francis is the guy that Canada loves. And there is definitely a good old boy network who does not like the way Ron Francis was handled. Because
it's like on the list of Canadians, it's Brian Adams, Bret Hart, Ron Francis.
Yeah, I mean, it's Gretzky or Trudeau, Celine Dion, kind of like in that, and Nickelback, in like the top five, right? And then right below that.
You're putting Nickelback above the hip?
Derek, how dare you speak ill of the dead?
Wow. Wow. Yeah.
Pour one out for Gord.
All right. Can I
pour it into your mouth.
All right.
Yeah,
I didn't want to say that sentence because then you could take that out and have that as a soundbite, and I didn't want that, so thank you for filling in the blanks.
We should do more sound drops on this podcast. Whoever produces this thing does a horrible job.
Hey, if you're an audio guy and want an internship producing this podcast, holler at us.
Holla. The GM thing, I think, is, again, you said it best. I think the Canes got a little over their skis, and while they were interviewing and talking to a few people, I think basically what happened here is they made it a little bit too public, and mm-hmm. they were running a little bit fast.
Yes.
And there are some guys that they want to talk to who are part of teams who are going to be part of the playoff run, and you're not going to be able to do that. So while I agree that we would all like to have a general manager sooner rather than later, particularly for us to figure out what the hell we're doing with our first round short, I will say this. I will go on record, Derek, so feel free to audio clip this one. Unless the Carolina Hurricanes win the National Hockey League draft lottery, mm-hmm. the Carolina Hurricanes will not be making a first-round pick. Because you and the Section 328 crew, minus myself, are going to be going to Dallas later this year mm-hmm. to take in the National Hockey League draft and report from the fans' perspective on what you see at the draft. Ultimately, we're not going to pick in the first round.
Yeah, I may extend that to go top three.
Again, that would include winning. You'd have to get to top
win
three.
Win part of the lottery.
Right. You have to win.
Okay.
You have to win one of those three lottery picks.
If
we have not won the lottery, that means we're probably picking somewhere between 9 and 12. And if we're picking between 9 and 12, there is no way the Carolina Hurricanes make that pick.
Yeah. I'm not as confident as you are, but if you told me I had to put $50 on it one way or the other, I'd be in
agreement.
You'd
ask me to borrow 40? I mean, what? Anyway, sorry. Hashtag cheapskate?
Yeah, no.
Hashtag what?
No, I was saying, I was trying to signal to you subtly, and now that we're talking about this on the podcast, I was thinking, like, you know, the game is drawing closer, and the beer in the parking lot sounds good, so I'm like, maybe we open up a little...
Maybe we go open up that box for a little cheat mail, cheat mail. Gotta go get some cheat mail.
So, Mike.
Cheat mail. Still not sponsored by the Sports Channel 8 family. Woo!
Here's one. Let's just fire this one away from...
Fire!
A guy named Pat Clark.
Who?
When will you have your first ever all cheat mail episode?
The first ever all cheat mail episode will be... Hey, Derek, you want to watch how a pro does this?
Okay.
The first ever all cheat mail episode of Cheaters Never Win will be a Patreon exclusive done at the National Hockey League draft this year in Dallas.
Okay.
There you go.
So you're going to make me record two different podcasts, at least two different podcasts in Dallas. Thanks for the pressure, Mike.
No problem.
I really appreciate
no
that.
No problem. That's what I'm here for, man. I'm here.
The nice thing is we can do it on a rooftop patio downtown Dallas.
You shut your filthy whore mouth and just hold me. Let's see here. I need to get past.
I can ask you another one while
you
scroll through.
Ask me another one while I look through here.
All right. This is from Stanley Christopher at Woj de God.
I love some of that Woj.
Congrats on being named the new GM of the Hurricanes. What are your first three moves?
Good question. First three moves as the new general manager of the Carolina Hurricanes. I am offering a maximum contract to Jonathan Tavares, assuming that he reaches free agency on July 5th, whatever it is, whatever the first day you can actually... Well, you can begin talking, but I don't know if you can actually offer a contract. Again, I'm trying not to tamper here, Derek, as the new GM.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Jesus, read the
sorry.
Rules. Sorry. I am hiring Joel Quenneville as the new coach of the Carolina Hurricanes after he has been let go by the Chicago Blackhawks. And thirdly, I am... I am hiring a vice president of fan experiences for the Carolina Hurricanes, and I am putting them in charge of fan experiences, marketing, and communications.
Ooh. Now, see, here's the thing, though, Mike. Is that too many hats for one person?
That is one person that all of those departments ultimately have to answer to. So, ultimately, those departments have to communicate, because I don't know if you know this, Derek. I don't think they do a good job of that in the front office as we speak.
I agree. I just, we've seen one person try to wear too many hats. So
yes.
I like that move. I would add one other move. I don't know which one I would subtract. But I would find, what is the best offer I can get for Justin Falk?
I like that. Okay, I can see that.
Holla at me, Mike.
Derek, I've got a lot of ones here.
We had a lot of good sheet mail questions this week.
Yeah, we did. I'm going to hit you with one I know that I need you. So, F. Mary Kill, head coach edition.
Ooh.
So, not persons, but coaching positions. F. Mary Kill, head coach.
Now, hold on. You've mentioned F and you've mentioned positions.
F. Mary Kill, coaching positions.
Mm.
Bill Peters. Rod Brendamore.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Maurice.
Okay, I'm killing Paul Maurice. That's easy.
That's so easy.
Like, again, we're looking at just like the coach. Again, this isn't the person. This is the coach.
Correct.
Paul Maurice, the person, maybe not killing him. I am going to... Oh, God, this is where it gets so challenging because I don't want either one. You know what? We've already seen... That it's not working here with Bill Peters, in my opinion.
Right.
Maybe a perfectly competent coach.
It is my belief that Bill Peters is going to go on to be a phenomenal head coach somewhere else.
Yes. So I'm going to give Bill Peters the goodbye F.
Right.
You know, maybe we cry it out afterwards. But then I guess by default, I'm going to marry Coach Brenda Moore.
And you know what? Maybe if you marry him just as an assistant coach, I think that's perfectly fine.
But it's a
coaching position. We married, but we're F Mary and killing positions here.
Okay,
Derek,
so we're breaking out the F Mary kills already. So let's go to our buddy from across the pond, Emil Ulbrand.
Oh, Emil Ulbrand,
and he has changed up the order. KMF, Swedish edition.
KLF is going to rock you.
KMF.
That's what I said.
Okay, Swedish edition. Victor Rask. Joachim Nordstrom, with the umlaut on the O, by the way. Props for that. And Elias Lindholm. So, Lindholm, Nordstrom, Rask.
I think that's easy.
I realize this is people, but we love Emil.
You marry Lindy, a one-nighter with Victor, and you never know how it goes because, you know, he doesn't express. And then Nordstrom, because, you know, while I respect the Oscar that he's won and his acting ability, I just don't want him on this team anymore. So,
that's the correct answer.
Yeah. So, Derek, I also have, we're going to run, again, people, the anger brings out the best in the F. Mary Kill questions. This may be one of the best F. Mary Kills we've gotten in a long time, and this one is difficult.
I'm excited.
This one is from our friend Save by Quick, Ashley McLaughlin.
That may have been one too many A's.
I don't know. I can barely count. Stemming from your recent Keep or Cut series on section328.com, section328.com, go check out our Keep or Cut series. F. Mary Kill edition.
Okay.
Sebastian Aho never playing another game in a Hurricanes uniform.
Pardon me while I cry.
Jeff Skinner never playing another game in a Hurricanes uniform. Jacob Slavin never playing another game in a Hurricanes uniform.
So this is like a negative F. Mary Kill.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I am killing the idea of Sebastian Aho never playing another game in a Canes uniform.
Agreed, yes.
That's absolutely
easy.
Killing that. Oh, this is where if my wife listens to this episode, I may have some splaining to do. But I am going to only F the idea of Jeff Skinner never playing another game in a Canes uniform, because I fear that may be closer to reality than not. And I'm going to marry... Well, wait, hold on. Yeah. Wait, no. I'm so confused on how to answer this, because it's a negative...
Yeah, I think what you want to do is... Basically, what you're saying
is... Here's what I want least. I least want Aho never playing, then Skinner never playing. No. I most want Skinner never playing, middly want Slavin never playing, and never ever want Aho to not play for the Canes.
So you are marrying You're marrying yourself to the idea that Jeff Skinner never
plays
a game.
Yes, I'm marrying the Skinner one, I'm effing the Slavin one, and I'm killing the Aho one.
Okay, I like that. That is the only correct answer as well. And here's the interesting point. As we talk about Jeff Skinner, and you mentioned as a general manager, you would see what you could get for Justin Falk. Mm-hmm. I think as a former Calder Trophy winner, Jeff Skinner may be able to get you the best return, and considering the length of his current contract and how it's coming up for renewal sooner rather than later.
After next season.
So, folks, we may need to brace ourselves. We may have less than 60 games left with Jeff Skinner in a Carolina Hurricanes uniform.
Retro. From Will Looper, what are the pros and cons of firing Bill Peters now and making Brindy the interim coach, with the understanding that the new GM will be making all the personnel decisions in the offseason?
The pros of that are it placates the fans and doesn't do anything more than that. The cons of it is it completely disrupts your view, your reputation in hockey culture, because we've already taken enough hits by firing Ron Francis. I think by having an interim coach and no GM, Tom Dundon goes from guy who may not understand hockey culture to wild, crazy Jerry Jones, and it may be tough for him to fix that reputation in a very short term. I am a big fan of Tom Dundon. I like what he has done thus far, but I think making that many changes that quickly, it would reflect negatively on the new ownership group.
I hear you.
So, Derek, I'm going back to F. Mary Kill.
I like it.
Actually, yeah, F. Mary Kill, Drown Your Sorrows Edition.
Okay.
Irish Whiskey, Imperial Stouts, Windshield Wiper Washer Fluid, because screw it.
As tempting as the washer fluid is, I'm going to kill that one.
You're going to kill the washer fluid?
I'm going to kill the washer fluid, because I don't know how that's going to affect me. I know the other two will get me good and drunk.
Okay, but have you ever been drunk on washer fluid?
No.
Ladies and gentlemen, show up to April 7th.
No!
April 7th, where we get Derek drunk on things that look like washer fluid.
No, please, no.
Oh, yeah.
Please.
Little
please.
Vodka, blue Curacao Sprite. You're going down, son.
Oh, jeez.
That's nine-hour tailgate gonna kill you.
You say me like it's just me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'll be the only dead one.
Not dead yet.
I feel happy. Okay, so I will marry the... I'll marry the Irish whiskey, and I'm going to F the Imperial Stouts.
Ooh, I didn't... I thought you may go the other way, being the big beer guy that you are.
I love beer, but I don't want an Imperial Stout all the time.
I hear you.
I feel like Irish whiskey is more versatile than an Imperial Stout.
I hear you. I like it. Okay.
This is probably my last question here, Mike. This is from Dumb Luck and Aaron at Camel City Caniac. With all the recent marriage proposals happening at PNC, how much longer before we see the serving of divorce papers on the Jumbotron?
Oh, interesting fact. I don't think we'll ever see it because you have to pay.
Awesome would that be? Not only do I want to be rid of you forever, I'm paying extra money to let the public know.
Derek, there's a lot of hate in this world, and you know me. I'm trying to promote, you know, let's all be nicer to each other, and that's right. Not being nice. And
right.
It was interesting, though, because, you know, there was two proposals that happened at the Boston game, and it was very obvious that neither one of the proposals were actual Canes fans. They wanted to do it so that way they could get on Bruins TV, and it was very cute. I thought it was very, you know, interesting. I will not begrudge anybody who chooses to do that. I will just begrudge anybody who chooses to accept the proposal at a hockey game, because that is not how you propose to your future mate at a Carolina Hurricanes game.
You're right.
What the hell are you doing? I'd ask you, Derek, F. Mary Kill, this beer, another beer, no beer. The answer is
I'm gonna kill no beer.
Okay.
I'm gonna marry another beer. Or no, I'm gonna F another beer, but I'm gonna marry this beer.
Tell folks about that beer.
This beer is so good.
Where'd you get that beer, Derek?
I got this beer at Bottle Mix.
Who? So,
no, yeah, Bottle Mix.
Who?
They're on Creedmoor Road.
Where?
South of 540.
Oh.
North of Crabtree.
Okay.
More north of Crabtree than they are south of 540.
Like at Brennan Station.
Exactly.
Like right behind the Wendy's and where the Dunkin' Donuts is, where they have like the gym and, and the Moe's.
That little corner over there.
The Moe's where Justin Falk disappoints us all the time.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I know where it's at. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Okay. So walked in, talked to Dustin. What do I need to drink this week? He said, well, I know you do a lot of IPAs, but you love IPAs. And here's a good one from the good people at Brewery Bavana. If you don't know Brewery Bavana and you're in this area, you really should get acquainted with them. They
one of the top 30 new top 10 restaurants in the country.
Yeah, I think that was from Bon Appetit magazine, but I could be wrong. But it's gotten a lot of acclaim. It is owned by the family that owns Bitamanda, a fantastic restaurant down in Moore Square. But Brewery Bavana, it's a cool place. They do great beer. It's also a flower shop. They sell food. And it's like a bookstore. It's a really neat place that sounds weird, but once you go, you're like, holy crap, I get this concept. It's fantastic. And they do some phenomenal beers. They have probably 15 or so beers available at any time when you go there, maybe even more. And they can a selection of them. And this one that they've canned, it's an India Pale Ale called Pithy. I think you could describe it as a New England style IPA based on the taste and the fact that it looks like really thick, hazy orange juice. And for an IPA, you cannot see through this beer. It's awesome. The description on the side of the can says that something... let's see here. It's small font. The elements of style, they learn, blah, blah, blah. Pithy is their concise IPA featuring Vic's Secret hops. You'll find it soft and bitter as orange pith with just a touch of pine. And yeah, Vic's Secret hops, it's one of those hops I believe that's from the southern hemisphere, and you get a little bit of that tropical side to it. It's not just that citrusy like a Citra hop. It's certainly not that resiny, just blash in the face, piney or earthiness of a West Coast hop or a North American style one. It's really fun. For those of you who don't love IPAs, you may have heard me say it before, but I think New England style IPAs can be a good entry point because they're usually a little softer. They're hazy in color, which may be off-putting at first, but I promise it's good to be that hazy. The hops aren't as aggressive. You get more of the floral, aromatic elements of hops and a lot of the tasty flavors that are there without all of that bitterness that's like tearing the enamel off your teeth. Again, pours a beautiful color, keeps a little bit of good head on the beer, which is great to keep those flavors in the beer itself and not let them evaporate into the ether. I think this beer is absolutely delightful. I do get that orange flavor, but I almost get a little bit of pineapple with it, a little bit of hop, maybe some of that pine, but it's just so tasty. It's a refreshing, thirst-quenching beer with just a little backbone of hops to it. And I truly love it. It is juicy and truly delicious. It's 7% alcohol in this tall boy can. And look, with this quality, it's a shade more expensive than some of the other things I've talked about on this podcast. But for a tall boy, I want to say it's about $4 for a can, which for really good local craft beer, I don't think is that bad because this isn't something you want to chug. You want to sit here and sip and savor this beer. Highly recommend it. So go to Bottle Mix. I think a great day to go would be this Saturday, March 24th. They're having a Wilmington beer event. As we mentioned last podcast, they went down, picked up a bunch of beers that you can only get in Wilmington, bringing those back so we can all sample them and enjoy the goodness of more North Carolina beer. So head up to Bottle Mix this Saturday or any day, really. Pick up a can of the Brewery Bavana Pithy. It will have a sign in front with our little Section 328 logo. Say it's our beer of the week from this podcast. If you don't see that, ask Dustin, ask Bruce, and they'll set you up with that beer and whatever other beers or wines that you possibly want.
Beer and wine are good. They make Hurricanes hockey better. We're going on our way to a Carolina Hurricanes game. We got to go watch the Carolina Hurricanes. Live in-game update, if you're listening to this on your way home from the game, the Carolina Hurricanes, in a comeback fashion, won 4-2 tonight against your Arizona Coyotes. Goals by Zekoff, McEwen, Slavin, and Stempniak with the empty netter.
If this all comes to fruition, I'm going to lose my mind.
Also, goals by Clayton Keller and Clayton Keller. Two goals by Clayton Keller.
Is that because you couldn't think of another Coyote?
I could, but I just didn't want to give him to anybody but Clayton Keller because I want him to win the Calder. Derek, this podcast has been a podcast. Folks, thank you for listening. Seriously, we love you guys. Lots of info coming up soon about the end of season tailgate, April 7th, all day tailgate. Gonna rock our faces off. But until then, we gotta get our asses out of here. My name's Mike.
This is Derek.
Section328.com. Check us out. See y'all later. Bye.